Halachas Chol HaMoed is one of the most confusing areas of halacha. Hopefully by the end of the summer it will be less confusing, although by the end of the summer it may be more confusing. The problem, many problems with Halachas Chol HaMoed, but there is one basic fundamental issue in terms of Halachas Chol HaMoed that really runs throughout the entire first half of the Masechta Maikotim, which deals with these halachas. Something that we're going to be constantly coming back to is where in the world do all these halachas come from? We find such a strange idea in Halachas Chol HaMoed is that some things are also, some things are mutter, some halachas are also, some halachas are mutter. The line of differentiation between what's also, what's mutter is so small, and we're going to see just to develop some kolam over the course of some is going to be somewhat difficult. But the basic root of the issue of Halachas Chol HaMoed that all the Rishonim have to deal with is where do these halachas come from in the sense, are we dealing with dinim deraisa, are we dealing with dinim derabanan? So really the first two sugyas you see in the Maamar Makomos are really going to try to tackle this fundamental question, what exactly is the source of Halachas Chol HaMoed in the first place? And before we get to the nitty gritty of what's also and what's mutter, we have to understand what the basis for all this is. So there is a basic fundamental machlekes in the Rishonim that permeates throughout all the sugyas. Is Halachas Chol HaMoed deraisa, is Halachas Chol HaMoed derabanan? So today we'll take one approach. We'll take the approach of Rabbeinu Tam that Halachas Chol HaMoed is derabanan and try to understand how Rabbeinu Tam proved that and how he saw that and how some of the aspects of Chol HaMoed fitted into that. And hopefully as we go move on with Shem next week, so we'll take the other side, play the devil's advocate. We'll talk a little bit more about the tzad of Halachas Chol HaMoed deraisa, and then hopefully we'll move on to many of the details in the halachas. So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by Tosfos Maseches Chagiga on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Rabbeinu Tam was the one of the big believers. He wasn't the only one. There were many Rishonim who side with him. Who held that Halachas Chol HaMoed is only midirabanan. The whole thing is derabanan. Hakol mikol kol. The whole everything that's aser. The whole summer according to Rabbeinu Tam is only derabanan. The Raisis is over this summer according to Rabbeinu Tam. Everything is only midirabanan. Says Rabbeinu Tam. How do I know that that's true? So the Pashup shot is, I don't know it's true. It's a Pasuk in Chumash. Anyone learned Chumash recently? So the Torah speaks about, the Torah says which days you're not allowed to do Malacha. The Torah says, first day of Pesach, last day of Pesach, first day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. The Torah doesn't speak about the middle days. The Torah doesn't say, on the middle days. So says Rabbeinu Tam. So there's no Malacha deraisa. Everything is Mutter midaraisa. The Chachamim instituted, we'll see as we go on why the Chachamim instituted this, but the whole institution, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is only midirabanan. So simply, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Ein Lecha Raya Gedol Mizil, just Pshat and Pasuk and Chumash, the Pasuk doesn't say anything about there being any Yisim Malacha on the intermediary days. Not only is that clearly the case according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam has some other rayas as well. It says Rabbeinu Tam, just by the very nature of Halachas Chol HaMoed, indicates, points in the direction that Chol HaMoed is on midirabanan. It says Rabbeinu Tam, he says, we find in Hilchos Shabbos, so there are lametes melochas, there are exact categories. We know exactly what's us, exactly what's mutter. Those were with me in Hilchos Shabbos. People learned Shabbos with us a couple years ago. No one's around. Where's Dovi? He's not with us? Okay, he left. All right. So those are Masechta Shabbos, so there are lametes melochas. We know exactly what's chayav, what's putter. Very, very simple. Hilchos Shabbos is a cinch. It takes you a whole year to try to figure out what's us and what's mutter, but the categories are fairly simple. Hilchos Yontif is also very, very simple. Hilchos Yontif, basically everything is asar. There's one quirk in Hilchos Yontif. The one quirk is called Eichel Nefesh. Okay, so you got a little Maseches Beitza. Also, we learned in Yeshiva, even before Dovi's days. So we learned the Beitza, so there are a couple of exceptions to that rule. But by and large, Hilchos Yontif is also a cinch. You know exactly what the rules are. All the Lamites Blachas are asar, with the exception of Hilchos Eichel Nefesh. You come to Chol HaMoed, Zek Rabbeinu Tam, and you had Tzmam Shehef Kevel. He said, Dover Ovid is Mutter, and Tzachi Rabm is Mutter, and Tzachi Yochid is Osir, and Menias HaRevach is Osir, and if it's Mechav Malachta B'moed is Osir. I'm just drawing out terms that we're going to spend the whole summer talking about. So, says Rabbeinu Tam, we know we can figure out what the rules are. The Hagin Stitch and Mamash are total chillin'. So he said that, this is not a DRIs, a Dikka Klal. These are not Dinim DRIs. The Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't give us a Hef Kevel. When the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us Dinim, they're exact categories. Everything is perfect, crystal clear. Everything is Lamites Malachas or Echol Nefesh. There are strict halacha categories. And the mere fact that Chol HaMoed is such a hefkevel, that in and of itself indicates that, hey, Mamu, hey, Mamu, that the Chachamim instituted Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and they instituted it the way they saw fit. They saw fit to ask certain things. They saw fit to be mad to certain things. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, just for the mere nature of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, points in the direction that it's on the midirabanan. So for Rabbeinu Tam, has two things going for him. He has Paskin Chumash, Bible. I know it's a tough word around here. Those are in YU. But Oh no, I said something already. Ready on that? Ready? Okay. I haven't talked for 10 minutes. I got myself in trouble. So number one, from the lack of psukim to asam lach chalamay, it appears that lach chalamay is derabbanan. Number two, from the very nature of lach chalamay, so comes Rabbi Natam and says, "I have another raya, a raya from Yerushalmi." So the Yerushalmi is a very strange comment. The Yerushalmi says that. That if it was up to us, and who's the Abba Ramama, one of the Amoraim in the Rishalmi says that if it was up to me, I would do away with all of Hilchos Chalamoed. I would tell people to go back to work, go back to your offices, go back to your businesses on Chalamoed. Why? Because the whole point of Chalamoed was supposed to be Eichlin, V'Shaisin, the Oskim Batayra, people are supposed to have a nice meal and have a nice drink and go sit and learn the Beis Medrash and Shashiurim and Chaburas and sit and shtag away. It should be like a quasi yontif al chalamayid. So what's happening? Nobody's doing that, says the Yerushalmi. What are people doing? So the oichlin are right, the shosin are right, they're davening at the 10:45 shacharis, and then at 11:45 they're out the door, they go to the amusement park all day, they go to the circuses and everything, and no one's learning anything. So the Yerushalmi says, that's not right, people are supposed to be learning. You can go to the circus also once, if it's the kosher circus, not the trefer circus, the kosher circus. So you can simchas yontif a little bit, but the rest of the day is supposed to be limud haTorah. So the Yerushalmi says, that's not right. Yerushalmi says that if it was up to us, we would be mevatav all of Hilchos Chalamoed. We tell people it's better to go to work. Go daven at the 6 o'clock minyan, learn daf yomi, and go to work. You stay out of trouble. You're running around doing all kinds of other things on Chalamoed. You're getting yourselves into more trouble. It's better. We should be mevatav all of Hilchos Chalamoed. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, what kind of absurd comment is that of the Yerushalmi, that we would be mevatel all of Hilchos Chalamoed? You can mevatel within their eyes? If the Rabban Shalom said there's an Issam Alokh and Chalamoed, so what do you mean you'd be mevatel? That's ridiculous. How can you make such a comment that if it would be up to me, I'd be mevatel Shabbos? If it would be up to me, I'd be mevatel Pesach. You know, if it would be up to me, I don't think people are being so careful about kashrus anyway. If it's up to us, we'd be mevatel Hilchos Kashrus. So that's not the form of Judaism that we follow. So we think the Dini HaTorah were given here to stay. So what's the Yerushalmi talking about? What kind of statement is that if it was up to us, it'd be mevatel Hilchos Chalamoed. So says Rabbi Natan, obviously that statement of the Yerushalmi must be pointing in the direction that Malachas Chalamoed is only b'dirabanan. So if Tacha Malachas Chalamoed is d'rabanan, so then we have rules that sometimes the Chama make a takana, and sometimes in later generations they realize that the takana is not doing too well. The takana sometimes is defeating its own purpose. So sometimes we find that the later Chacham Tacha the mevatel previous takanas. Then you have Klalim and Halacha, Beis in Yochel Levatel the Beis in Chavera. Ein Beis in Yochel Levatel the Beis in Chavera. You have details in Halacha, what Beis Din can do to revoke takanas of previous, but they didn't. But to revoke a din deraisa, chas v'shalom, so says Rabbi Natam, that from the mere fact that the Yerushalmi had such a bizarre comment, that if it was up to us, we would be mevatel Hilchos Chalamoed, that also sounds, it also smacks a little bit that it's only b'dirabanan, and therefore, in theory, the Chachamim in the later generation could be mevatel it, whether they did or didn't, or whether they should or shouldn't, is a different story. The Maisa, they didn't. If they would have, then we would have nothing to learn this summer. So the Maisa, they didn't. They left Hilchos Chalamoed the way it was, but from the fact that in theory, they could have, the later Beis Din could have theoretically done away with it, that also points in the direction that it's the Rabbanan. So these are the basic rayas. There's a couple of more rayas, but these are the basic thrust of Rashitas Rabbein Natan, that all of Hilchos Chalamoed is only the Rabbanan, from the raya brua, from the fact that the Pasuk doesn't say anything about it being also been Malacha. Number two, the fact that the nature of the Malachas are so strange, that the Chilukim seem to be so arbitrary, what's mutter, it doesn't sound like Chilukim and love of the Araisa. And number three, the Pashas in the Rishalmi, that sounds like the Chamim at a later generation could have theoretically been Mavata Luchas Chalamayid, these all point in the direction of Shitas Rabbein Natan. Remember, notwithstanding Rabbein Natan's Rayas, there are some Gemaras that pose some very serious problems for Rabbein Natan. So there is a sugya that appears at the beginning of the second parak of Ma'ikot, and I'm sure we're going to spend a lot of time on the sugya. This is one of the major sugyas of Hilchos Chalamoed. We're going to keep on coming back to this Gemara. The problem also, this is parenthetically, another problem learning Hilchos Chalamoed, besides the fact that it's so confusing, is that the Gemaras are so scattered that it's impossible to learn Hilchos Chalamoed al Sein de Ma'ikot. If you want to do it that way, you'll end up spending the whole summer learning Hilchos Shviyas. Where I really gave a couple of shiurim on Hilchos Shemitah now, so because the first two plot of my cut have nothing to do with my cut and have nothing to do with Hilchos Chalamoed, then you get all kind of sidetracked and everything. So I thought the only intelligent way to do it is to go Kaseidah Shulchan Aruch. So you may not have noticed, but all the sugars are going Kaseidah Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim and Hilchos Chalamoed. That's why in the Gemaras they were jumping around a lot. But believe it or not, we are going. There is some method. There is a method. So we are going Kaseidah Shulchan Aruch. So at the end of the summer, it's a good thing I told you because probably no one would have realized that. So at least at the end of the summer, you will realize that you will have learned all of Hilchos. So comes the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Mayekotan and the Mishnah really, and opens up with the following discussion. The Mishnah discusses one of the key concepts in Hilchas Chalamoy called Dover HaAved. Many of us are familiar with this idea that if a person has some kind of a potential loss of money, the example that the Mishnah speaks about, a guy who's pressing his olives or pressing his grapes, and then if he doesn't finish it, so they're going to get ruined. That's not the most common case for us. But again, the principle doesn't really matter. You have some kind of a davar avid, some kind of a potential loss of money. So basically, the rule is that davar avid is mutar and chalamoid. I say basically, there are certain exceptions. There are certain conditions as to when the heter of davar avid. Hopefully, we'll spend a lot of time during the course of the summer discussing the details of davar avid. But by and large, there is a klal called davar avid being mutar. But the Mishnah, in discussing davar avid, is somewhat confusing because the Mishnah all of a sudden starts to shtup in another type of issa malacha, nothing to do with chalamayid. The Mishnah alludes to the issa malacha for an avil. There's a din that an avil during the week of Shiva is also not permitted to do malacha. There's a question where this comes from. We'll talk about that also in a moment. But there's a halacha, one of the issuri avelos for the entire week of Shiva is an issa malacha. So the Mishnah starts to talk together, starts to lump together the issa malacha of chalamayid and the issa malacha of an avel, and then the Mishnah kind of leaves us hanging. The Mishnah starts out seeming to indicate that there are certain similarities between the issa malacha of chalamayid and the issa malacha for an avel, and then the Mishnah says, and by the way, there's a heter davar avid and chalamayid, and the Mishnah doesn't say anything about the heter davar avid v'avela. So it's that mashmosa Mishnah that led to a whole discussion in the Gemara. So again, the Mishnah sounds like there's certain parallels, certain similarities between them. The Mishnah says explicitly Davar Avid is Mutter and Chalamoid, and it never really says explicitly that Davar Avid is Mutter and Avela. So what do you do with that information? What do you do with that mashmosa Mishnah? So there's a Machlekes Amaroim, a major Machlekes Amaroim, the first sug in the second paragraph of Maikotan, as to how to learn Pshat in this Mishnah. And the how to learn Pshat in this Mishnah is going to impact on Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rav Ashi and Rav Shisha b'Rei Rav Idi. So Rav Shisha says that the reason why the Mishnah leaves us hanging and doesn't tell us that there's a heter of Davra Aved for an Avel is because it's not true, because the Taka is no heter of Davra Aved for an Avel. That there's a heter of Davra Aved for an Hilchas Chalamayid, and the Taka is no heter at all of Davra Aved for an Avel. Why that should be so, we're going to talk about that also later on down the line. When we speak a little bit more about Davra Aved, we'll get back to that. But that's Rav Shisha's pshat in the Mishnah, that the reason why the Mishnah left hanging and didn't mention Beferish the heter of Davra Aved for an Avel because its taka doesn't exist. And Rav Ashi says, no, it's not true. Rav Ashi says the reason why the Mishnah didn't say it is because it's obvious. Says Rav Ashi the following, Madachan Chol HaMoyed, which is the Araisa. The Mishnah tells us that Davar Avid is Mutar, so Kavachom Rav Eilus, which is only Midirabanan, how much more so Davar Avid is going to be Mutar. That's Rav Ashi's Pshat in the Mishnah. So two Pshatim in the Mishnah, what is the din? We're not learning Chol HaVeilus right now, but it's important for us also. What is the din? Is an Avid allowed to do a Davar Avid or not? So according to Rav Shisha, the answer is no. We don't know exactly why, but the answer is no. Davar Avid is limited only to Chol HaMoyed, not to HaVeilus. According to Rav Ashi, the answer is yes. Why doesn't the Mishnah say it? Because it's intuitively obvious. It's a kal v'chomer. Madach and Chol HaMoyed, derais its mutter, avelos rabban, and how much more so. So, of course, this Gemara poses a very serious problem for Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, obviously, because here the Gemara says, kimat b'feirish, that malachas chol HaMoyed is deraisa. So Rabbeinu Tam had some great rayas from Chumash and from Yerushalmis and everything, but he's got a line in the Bavli, mamish staring in, mamish in his face, that the Bavli says, pemole, that malachas chol HaMoyed is deraisa. So how do you resolve this according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, no, that's not really what the Gemara means. That's because the Gemara said the word deraisa. Deraisa doesn't always mean deraisa, as we know. Deraisa can sometimes mean there's an asmachta from a pasuk in Chumash. It doesn't really mean a deraisa. It means that it's hinted to a little bit. After all, the Torah calls Chol HaMoyed a mikra kodesh. You're not allowed to eat chometz on Chol HaMoyed Pesach, and you have to eat in the sukkah Chol HaMoyed sukkah. So, you know, the concept of Chol HaMoyed is deraisa, like a concept. The Yisur Malacha may only be derabanan, but Chol HaMoyed at least is a chacha deraisa. At least it's a something. At least it smacks of a deraisa. But at the prate pratim of the Yisur Malacha deraisa, no, since there's been a time they happen not to be, but at least the concept of Chol HaMoyed is deraisa. Mashen can avelos, the chavelos is bechlam with the rabbanon. The whole avelos hakol miko ko is only mid the rabbanon. So Rabbeinu Tam wiggles out of the raya. Rabbeinu Tam says, even though the Gemara does use the lashon deraisa, it seems to be an open and shut raya
that Meleches Chalamoed is mamish d'araisa. So Rabbeinu Tamar doesn't really mean it. When the Gemara says d'araisa, all the Gemara means is that concept and theory, it smacks of d'araisa, it's ke'en d'araisa, smacht it d'araisa, something like that. It doesn't really mean it, in contrast to Avelus, which is l'gamri d'rabbanit. Now this Rabbeinu Tam really fits in very nicely with another sheet of Satoisus. Taisin Maikot and Dafyadal and Mabez happens to hold that the Surya Avelus are only mid-rabbanit. All of Uchas Avelus, the whole thing, Shiva from beginning to end, according to the Bali of Taisus, is only mid-rabbanit. So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, this Gemara really reads like a charm, that Chalamoid is D'araisa, quote-unquote. Doesn't really mean D'araisa, it means it's Shaychas to D'araisa, Zasmachtas a little bit, whereas Avelus is Mamash Lagame Midirabbanan. That's all the Gemara means according to Rabbeinu Tam. The problem is that there are clearly Rishonim who cannot learn this Pshat in the Gemara. This newfangled Pshat in the Gemara of Rabbeinu Tam clearly will not fly for Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam happens to hold that Isuri Avelus Adi Araisa. There is a big machlekes Rishonim. We're not going to talk about it too much now, but suffice it to say there's a major machlekes Rishonim between the Balei Taisus against the Rambam. Are Isuri Avelus Adi Araisa not? The whole sugya is in the end of my cotton from Dr. Tess on, which speak about an Ovel not washing and an Ovel not learning Torah and an Ovel not wearing shoes, all those things. Those D'araisa, those D'rabbanan. So the Balei Taisus held that they're all mid D'rabbanan, Hakol Mikol. And the Rambam held that there's a concept, what's called Avo Yom Rishon D'araisa. The first day of Avelus, the Rambam holds all the Isuri Avelus are D'araisa. The subsequent days of Avelus, the subsequent days of Shiva, the Rambam holds the Isurim are only mid D'rabbanan. So according to the Rambam, when the Gemara makes the statement that Avelus is D'rabbanan, beginning of the second parak, the Gemara doesn't mean that the whole Avelus is D'rabbanan. The Gemara means after the first day is D'rabbanan. So according to the Rambam, that Avelus is also smacks a little bit of D'araisa. According to the Rambam, that Avo Yom Rishon is D'araisa, you can't say that when the Gemara is using the phrases D'araisa is D'rabbanan. So the Gemara means that Chalamoid smacks of a D'araisa, whereas Avelus is not Bechlala D'araisa, nothing. That wouldn't make any sense according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, Avelus is more D'araisa than Chalamoid. According to the Rambam, Avelus is Yom Rishon is Mamash and it's a D'araisa. So according to the Rambam, L'chora, you can't learn Pshat like Rabbeinu Tam. To make matters even worse for the Rambam happens to hold that Meleches Chalamoid is only Midirabbanan. So according to the Rambam, the Gemara Mamash doesn't make any sense. According to the Rambam, the Gemara is contrasting Avelus to Chalamoid. The Gemara is saying that Chalamoid is D'araisa and Avelus is only Midirabbanan. So according to the Rambam, what do those words mean? According to the Rambam, Cholamayit is only Dirabanan, and Avelus is Diraisa. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So this Gemara is Pilei Ploim according to the Rambam. The only answer to the Rambam is as follows, that the Rambam clearly holds that we don't paskin like this line in the Gemara. This was Rav Ashi's Okimta in the Mishnah. Remember, we started out by saying there was a machlaikis between Rav Shisha and Rav Ashi. What is Pshat in the Mishnah? Why did the Mishnah not address the kul of Dover Oved when it comes to Hilchas Avelus? So according to Rav Shisha, because it's not true, and according to Rav Ashi, because it was self-understood, it was a Kal V'chomer, because of Cholamoid is D'araisa and it's Mutter, Kal V'chomer Avelus, which is only Midirabbanan. So the Rambam holds that is goof of the Nekudas HaMachloikis between Rav Ashi and Rav Shisha. That Rav Ashi taka held that Cholamoid is D'araisa. Rav Ashi taka held that Avelus is D'Rabbanan. Rav Ashi held, like he says, exactly what he meant. When he said those words, Cholamoid is D'araisa and Avelus is D'Rabbanan, he meant what he said. But says the Rambam, we don't pass like Debechlal. We don't pass like Rav Ashi. We pass like Rav Shisha. The Gemara itself says Beferish in that sugi that we pass like Rav Shisha. So according to the Rambam, forget about that Gemara. That Gemara, the beginning of the second Brecha Ma'ikotan, just take it and scratch it and cross it out, erase it. It doesn't play any role in our discussion Lamaisa, because we don't paskin like that sugya. We paskin that Cholamoid, maybe the Raisa, maybe the Rabbanan, Avelos, maybe the Raisa, maybe the Rabbanan, that Gemara has no impact ki huzeh. So basically, where are we holding at this point? So we have Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that Meleches Cholamoid is the Rabbanan. We had all the Hochachos of Rabbeinu Tam, the lack of Psukim to Aseret, we had the Yerushalmi, we had the fact that the nature of the Melacha seems to indicate that it's the Rabbanan. We had Rabbeinu Tam got himself into trouble. He got very concerned. He got all tits about that Gemara in the second paragraph of Ma'ikotan, where the Gemara uses the phrase Kolamoyri Diaraisa. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, don't get too concerned. It doesn't really mean it. It means Kain Diaraisa, Mied Diaraisa, not Diaraisa. It doesn't really mean like it sounds. And the Rambam says, forget about the whole Gemara, the Chlalash Lekelocha. We don't pass like Rav Ash, we pass like Rav Shisha. So at the end of the day, Rabbeinu Tam is still standing. He's still Al Makoyme Oymeid. And that Gemara, the Sechav Rechamoy Kotan, shouldn't be taken too seriously. Either because Rabbeinu Tam's rereading of the Gemara or the Rambam's just ignoring of the Gemara. So Lamaisa, forget the Gemara. If you ever saw the Gemara, so forget that Gemara. It doesn't really mean anything for us anyway. It'll mean a lot for us as the summer goes on. But for our Sukkot today, it's meaningless. Bottom line, Rabbeinu Tam stands on his own opinion. Rabbeinu Tam still sticks to his guns that Chol HaMoed is on the Midrash Rabbanan. So there's another Gemara that has to be understood in light of Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. And that is a Gemara in Maseches Chagiga where the Tosfos appears at Daf Yud Ches. So in order to understand the significance of this Gemara, we have to understand a little bit about Chumash. So the pasuk, there's a pasuk in Chumash that uses two phrases concerning the Yom Tovim. The Torah describes the Yom Tov of Shavuos as the Chag HaKotzir, the time of the harvesting. Okay, and the Torah uses the phrase concerning the Yom Tov of Sukkot as the Chag HaOsif, as the time of the gathering. Okay, good. Gathering, good. So we have the Chag HaKotzir and the Chag HaOsef, all of us agricultural men. The Torah describes these two Yom Tovim, the Chag HaKotzir and the Chag HaOsef. So Gemara raises the following shayla. It's a Chakira in Pshat in Chumash. Amashal, one dish of shayla. Yesh lachkor, how do you tie up these psuchim in Chumash? What do those phrases mean? Chag HaKotzir, Chag HaOsef. Does Chag HaKotzir and Chag HaOsef mean that the Torah is describing a day when the guy is mamish out there in the fields and harvesting? He's got his sickle out there and he's cutting the wheat. Or in Chag HaOsef, he's got his, I don't know, how do you bring stuff in from the fields? No. What? Hands, okay, good. So the guy's out there and he's schlepping in his stuff. That's the Chag HaOsef. The guy's mamish working. It's the Chag. It means he's diving at the 10:45 minyan, and now he's going out there and he's collecting his stuff, his produce. That's what Chag HaOsef and that's what Chag HaKotzer means, that the guy's mamish working today on the Chag. Is that pshat? Well, come on, the Gemara says, that's what the Chag HaOsef and Chag HaKotzer means. What Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaOsef means is that this is a time when the goyim are working. This is the time which, according to the farmer's almanac, it's time to harvest the crop, it's time to collect the crop. Doesn't mean this guy's mamish out on his tractor or whatever. I don't know if tractors should plow, at least how much I know. He's whatever, he's cutting his. Doesn't mean this guy personally, doesn't mean the Torah Kadosh is speaking to Klal Yisrael and said, you guys, as you're celebrating Yom Tov, you're being kutcher and oisev. It just means it's a zman, it's a chagabob, it's mana kutcher, it's a mana bo, it's a chagabob, it's mana osif. That's the pshat, those are the two pshat in Chumash. Mamish, Bible question, mamish linguistics, mamish a taich and posuk. How do you taich up chag kutcher and chag osif? Back to our old announcements, right? It's always time to remember the days of the open windows, right? There are still guys who are listening to the shiur and we're still trying to figure out why every 10 minutes we hear what time Nitzi Swim is. For the old timers. So who cares what the Pshat and the Chumash is? I mean, come on, what's the Nafkamina? Chagakotzer, Chagakotzer. Nafkamina when the kids tie up, little son Rabbi Yaakov says, Chagakotzer. No. So he explains the time of harvesting. My Nafkamina, what you're harvesting, Yerim's harvesting. Who cares what the Pshat and the Pasuk is? So comes the Gemara and says, no, it's a tremendous Nafkamina. It's going to have Nafkamina's Ladina. So the Gemara says, Lamashal's man, Chagakotzer. Let's take this Pasuk that describes the Yom of Shavuos as Chagakotzer. So what does that mean? Does the Torah mean you're being kaitzer at the time that you're celebrating the Chag? The Gemara says, who are you kidding? It's the Shavuos. Shavuos min HaTorah is one day, and there's a Nisim Malacha. So what do you mean Chag HaKotzer? How could you even dream of translating, of interpreting the Pasuk to mean at a time when you physically are being kaitzer? Chalila v'chalila. The guy's supposed to be learning all night in Shavuos. He's saying Akdomos. That's what the Pasuk means. He comes to Tikkun Lo Shavuos. He sits and eats cheesecake all night. You know, for the 2.5 hours of learning that 2 hours and 15 minutes he's eating cheesecake of. And he comes to Akdamos, and he daven in Shachris, he falls asleep during laning and everything. And 7 o'clock in the morning he goes out and goes to his farm and he goes and harvests his field. That's what the Pasuk means, Chag HaKotzer. That's ridiculous. How can it mean that? There's a Nisr of Ketzira on Yom Tov. So wait a second, if you want to interpret the Pasuk that way, that Kotzer means literally Kotzer, so then what the Pasuk must be meaning is that Shavuos is much longer than we really think it is. You thought Shavuos was only one day? No, Shavuos is a whole week. And this is the raya that you're allowed to bring tashlumin for the kavanas of Shavuos for the whole week following Shavuos. So we're all aware of this halacha. This is one of those halachas, those deep dark secrets of Nukhas Kachim. No one in today's world would have ever known that there's a din of tashlumin for the kavanas of Shavuos, except for the fact that nobody says tachra for that week afterwards. So all those shuls, the big fight for the first week after Shavuos, that, you know, like in YUK, I do, you know, every, depending on which minyan. What's that minyan? Who remembers? Do we have a minyan? What's the minyan in Yeshiva? There's no meaning like Yishuv. Okay, so I'm meaning is Ish Kol Yoshev Yerev Yaseh. So I don't remember what the minig of the Beis Medrash is. So that minig that some communities have not saying Tachanun, that's based on this Gemara Chayiga Daf Yerches, where the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that it must be there's a din of Tashlumin, that it's basically still called Chag HaKotzer the whole week. It's still called the Yom of Shavuos the whole week. So now it makes sense. It's a Chag HaKotzer. It's a time when. It's a time which is chag because you're harai, you're bringing karbanos, and you're mamish being kaitzi. If there's a way being kaitzi, there's no simalacha. So the Gemara says that if you want to interpret the pasuk kipshuto, the chag akotzi means that you're mamish literally being kaitzi, b'shas maisi, b'shas the chag, al korchak that the chag of Shavuos lasts for a week after a week called Shavuos. It must be, otherwise it would be absurd. There would be no other way to interpret pshat in the pasuk this way. If you take the other pshat in the pasuk, that Chag HaKotzer means at a time when people are being kaitzer, the goyim are being kaitzer, but it doesn't mean that you personally are being kaitzer, so then there would be no raya whatsoever to the din of tashlum. That's the interesting ha'ar that the Gemara makes in Chag Yigidat Yichas. So the Gemara says, well, let's try to figure this out. The Gemara says, what does the parallel phrase mean? What does Chag HaAsif mean? If you really want to tell me that Chag HaKotzer means that a time when people are literally out there harvesting, guys out there in the fields and cutting his grain on the quote-unquote Yom Tov Shavuos, namely Zayin Ches Tes Yud Yud Aleph Rebbe Sivan, if that's what it means, then the parallel phrase when it comes to Chag HaAsif has to be the same thing. That means the whole week of Sukkot, not the week after Sukkot, the week of Sukkot itself is the Chag HaAsif. That means that on Sukkot itself, the guy is collecting his grain from the field. On Sukkot itself, the guy is going out to the field and collecting, bringing in his produce. Is that true? The Gemara says, "Hayitochin davar kaze." Would anybody say such a wild thing? Like you're allowed to be oisif yitvua on Sukkot? The Gemara says, "What are you kidding? It's the chalamayin. Chalamayin, you're not allowed to be oisif tvua. Chalamayin, you're not allowed to go out to your field and start collecting your produce. The chmalachan chalamayin. What shaykh to say such a thing? How can you learn pshat chag haosif to mean that you're literally being oisif yitvua? It's not shaykh." Because there's an issa malachan chalamayid. So the Gemara says, zetman fadah, you see from here, from the fact that Chag HaAsif cannot possibly mean literally Chag HaAsif, that you are being oisif, because that would be a violation of malachas chalamayid. It must be that the phrase Chag HaKotzer also doesn't mean that you're literally being kotzer. It must mean it's a zman HaKotzer, and therefore there's no raya that you there's that tashlumin for Shavuos, and therefore you have to say tachanun and after Shavuos. That's basically the gist of the Gemara. So the Gemara has these two psukim, these two phrases, Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaAsif, and they're both revolving around the same fundamental question: how do you interpret pshat? Is pshat Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaAsif mean a time when you physically are doing it? That means there's some hetem malach over here, or does it mean just not in theory as mana, as mana kotzer, as mana also? Doesn't mean that there's actually hetem to do it. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, wait a second. What did the Gemara just pull over us? So the Gemara just said that Chag HaAsif, or the Pshat, a Pasuk in Chumash, Taich, in a biblical text, they're trying to figure out, what does the phrase Chag HaAsif mean? What are we saying? We're saying the Chag HaAsif cannot mean a time when you personally are being Asif, because Asifa b'chalamayin yishariya, are you allowed to be Asif on chalamayin? How are you talking about? Because Asifa b'chalamayin is a chadisar, it's a nisagamor. Says Rabbi Natan, this gemara does not fit into my picture of things. Because if I am right, Zafir Rabbi Natan, that Hilchas Chalamayin is on a midirabanan, the whole thing is dirabanan. Hakal, mikol go, we're learning pshat and psukim and chumish. We're teaching pshat and apostle. We're trying to figure out what is the halachic meaning of the phrase Chag HaAsif. So what are you telling me a story? What are you bringing me a raya from the fact that there's an Issa Chalamayin? Issa Chalamayin is on a midirabanan. So how in the world does the Issa Chalamayin dirabanan impact on the interpretation of a pshat, and apostle and chumish? Says Rabbi Natan, this Gemara is not good for us. This Gemara contradicts my whole Yisoy. So we just spent the last half hour developing Shitas Rabbi Natan, showing you how Rabbi Natan fits in so beautifully, that Chalamayit is under the Rabbanan, the whole thing is the Rabbanan. have a glaring Gemara in Daf Yuches and Chagiga that says Kimat Pemale that it's Deraisa. Everyone saw this Gemara. Everyone saw the Marmakomas. No one had any excuses not to see the Marmakomas. No, you guys have been learning for a week. So everyone saw the Gemara. Everyone realized when he saw the Gemara in Daf Yuches against Rabbi Natan. So what do you do? How does Rabbi Natan defend himself? So comes Rabbi Natan with the following Yisoid. This Yisoid is going to need some beer, and this Yisoid is going to take us way out of Hilchos Cholamayim. But let's just understand what Rabbi Natan said before we give a little, hopefully a little bit better analysis of what Rabbi Natan was talking about. Comes Rabbi Natan and says, the Gemara never meant to say that Melechus Cholamayim is Deraisa. The Gemara just meant to say as follows. If the phrase Chag HaOsef really means that you're going to be Osef, that means that Torah is describing a day that's mutter to be Osef, if that would be true, then the Chachamim never would have instituted Hilchos Cholamayim. They never would have instituted Isuri Malachim Cholamayim, because if the Torah says it's mutter, if the Torah describes Chag HaOsef as being a day of literally, physically being Osef, so that the Torah is giving a stamp of approval that it's mutter to work in Cholamayim, if the Torah would have said Pem Mole that you're allowed to work on Cholamayim, the Chacham never would have asked Hilchos Cholamayim. So that's an unbelievable Chiddush of Rabbi Natan. We thought what the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is assuming that Melechus Cholamayim is Mamish Deraisa. The Gemara is saying that you can't learn Pshat and Chag HaOsef to mean literally, because if you do, then you're a violation of a Din Deraisa. The Torah itself says you're not allowed to work in Cholamayim. So Rabbi Natan, what the Gemara means? What the Gemara means is like this, is that since the Torah itself would have been saying that that Melechus Cholamayim is, if the Torah would have been saying that Melechus Cholamayim is mutter, if Chag HaOsef would have been interpreted in such a way to mean that you personally are being Oyved, you personally are being Oysev, the Chachamim never would have gone ahead and instituted all of Hilchos Cholamayim. From the fact that the Chachamim instituted Hilchos Cholamayim, it must be that there's another way of reading the Pshat and the Pasuk Chag HaOsef. And what's the other way of reading it? It means Chag HaBav is Man HaSifa. That means that other people are working, doesn't mean that you personally are working. Ad Kan Divrei Rabbi Natan. Anyone have any clue what Rabbi Natan is talking about? Anyone have the foggiest notion of what Rabbi Natan is saying? Hopefully nobody. Anyone know? Everyone realize the kosher Rabbi Natan, right? Doesn't make any sense, right? So let's see if we can get a little bit of an introduction to understand what's Pshat and Shittas Rabbi Natan. Comes to Michas Chinuch and says the answer to Rabbi Natan is clearly based on the following Yisoid. There is a very famous Shita, it's called the Shita Sataz. The Shita Sataz appears in three different places, in Orach Chaim, Yerideya, and in Chesh Mishpat. We'll only talk about one of them. In Orach Chaim. Comes the Taz and develops the following Yisoid. Comes the Taz and says, we know that there are many Yisurim Derabbanan out there. A lot of things that are mutam in the Torah, and the Chacham say you're not allowed to do. Marshal, a quick bishul akum. The Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to bishul akum. So the Chacham came along and said you're not allowed to bishul akum. Place muktzan Shabbos. The Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to move a pencil on Shabbos. Come the Chacham and say you're not allowed to move a pencil on Shabbos. Good, very nice. Chum came up with a lot of Yisurim Derabbanan. Comes the Taz and says, every Yisur Derabbanan that exists is only because the Torah never said it's mutter. There's no Pasuk Chumash that says, Vaydaber Shem Moshe Leiba, that says you're allowed to eat food that was cooked by Goyim. The Torah doesn't say that you're allowed to eat food cooked by Goyim. The Torah doesn't say that you're not allowed to eat food cooked by Goyim. There's a cloud gold in halacha. Those who've been in my shiur have heard the line before. There's a cloud gold in halacha. Everything is mutter until what? Until proven usher. No, one of the other two ways? There are three different approaches to halacha. So the correct approach to halacha is everything is mutter until proven asur. There are some people who have the following interesting notion in halacha: everything is asur until proven mutter. And then there are other people who have a very interesting notion in halacha: everything is asur even after proven mutter. So our approach is the first approach. That's the emes lamita. We live in America, innocent until proven guilty. So everything is mutter until proven asur. So if I were to ask you, how do you know you're allowed to eat food that was cooked by a goy, according to the chumash? How do you know? The answer is, how do I know? If it's not on the list of the Torah mitzvahs, I'm allowed to do it. Whatever the Torah, how do you know I'm not allowed to stand on my head? You want to stand your head? Stand on your head. The Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to stand on your head. You're allowed to stand on your head. Everything's mutter until proven asur. Sometimes, however, the Torah itself says that something is mutter. The Torah explicitly says you're allowed to do such and such, or sometimes the Torah even says you should do such and such. comes to Taz and says, when the Torah's math is something beferish, the Chavim have no koyach to aser it. The Chavim can't just start aser things. If the Rabban Shalom says it's mutter, so then the Chavim have no right to aser it. The Chavim only have a koyach to aser things that are not written beferish in the Torah that are mutter. It's for this reason that the Taz answers the following question. We know there's a halacha from last year. We know there's a halacha that Rosh Hashanah shechalas b'Shabbos, or first day of Sukkah shechalas b'Shabbos. So you don't take a lulav. You don't. Rosh Hashanah wouldn't be a good idea anyway. You don't blow a shofar. You don't take a lulav because there's a gzeira midrabbanan that you may come to carry. And so come the Rosh Hashanah, the Ran and Rosh Hashanah, and ask the following question. The Ran says, how come when you have a bris milah the 8th day on Shabbos? So how come the halacha is you do the bris, and why don't we make the same gzeira? Gzeira you may come to carry the baby. Gzeira you may come to carry the knife. How come we don't find that gezerah by milah? Well, we do find that gezerah by shofar and sukkah. That's the Ran's kasha. So the Ran taka gives a different teretz, but the Taz says, I'm going to tell you what the emes of teretz is. Comes the Taz and says, how do you know midaraisa that you blow shofar Rosh Hashanah Shchalas b'Shabbos? How do you know? What do you mean? How do you know? One lama lo. The Torah says Yom Tru Yelochem. The Torah doesn't tell you any reason to believe that there's a difference between Shabbos and any other day. So from lack of any distinction, it's understood that you blow shofar on Shabbos, but the Torah doesn't say pem mole blow shofar on Shabbos. The Torah just says blow shofar. How do you know that you take a lulav on Shabbos midaraisa? The Torah says lekachtem lechem biyom harishon. It doesn't say lekachtem lechem biyom harishon b'Shabbos. It just says lekachtem biyom harishon. It's understood. Of course, you take it on Shabbos. Lama lo. How do you know that you do a bris mila on Shabbos? So the Gemara says it's a special pasuk. Gzeiras Hakosov Ubayoyim Hashmini. That word Ubayoyim is Lerabba Shabbos. Ubayoyim Vafilu B'Shabbos. Comes the Taz and says there's a pasuk explicitly written in the Torah Kedosha to tell me that a milah B'Shabbos is mutter. That's the purpose of that word Ubayoyim, to teach me that milah on Shabbos is mutter. Comes the Taz and says if the Rebbeinu Shalom was matter it, if the Rebbeinu Shalom said Pemalei, that you're allowed to do a milah on Shabbos, the Chum have no right to come for some reason 1,000 years later and say, no, we don't think that's such a good idea. We think you should not do a milah on Shabbos because there is Shem Yavreda Dal Namas. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, forget. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, the Pharisee said, it's mutter. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, mutter. It's mutter. Finished. There's nothing to discuss. When it comes to lulav, the Rebbeinu Shalom never said to take a lulav on Shabbos. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, take a lulav on the first day of Sukkot. Let's move on to Meila. Before it comes out on Shabbos, you also take it. The Rosh Hashanah never said to blow shofar on Shabbos. The Rosh Hashanah said to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It happens to be. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. You should also blow shofar b'deraisa. So the Chum have a koyach to tell you when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, don't do those mitzvahs because there's no pasuk that was matter b'feirish. But when it comes to Mila with his mamash, a befeirish apostle that says that you're supposed to be mal on Shabbos, so how dare the Chum turn around and say you're not supposed to be mal on Shabbos? That's Iyav Shal Ein Koch B'Yachachamim Lakra Dover Min HaTorah, when it's written befeirish Lehefer. That's the Yisrael HaDover of the Taz. So comes to Minchas Chinuch and he says he thinks that this Taz is rooted in this Tosis. He says that's exactly what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Rabbeinu Tam is saying the following Yisrael. The Kohen Rabbeinu Tam, the Chachamim at one fine generation decided they can institute all of these Suri Malach and Chalabai. We have no idea when this Takana was instituted, but according to Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, the Chachamim instituted all of the Chalabai. They made all the Isurim Derabban, and you're not allowed to work your fields, you're not allowed to write, and you're not allowed to do this and that and the other thing. Give you 500,000 different details of the whole summer's worth of Limud, what you're not allowed to do with Derabban and Ochas Chalabai. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, that's all fine and dandy. The Chachamim could make such a takona. They would have the koyach to make such a takona. We have no problems assuming that the Torah never said beferish that you're allowed to work in Cholamoid. Lo yitzi, would say a pasuk in Chumash, V'edah b'shem Moshe leimor, ta'avdu b'cholamoid. Go to your work. Go work your fields in Cholamoid. Lo yitzi that the Torah would have said that beferish, then the Chachamim would have no koyach whatsoever to institute arbitrarily hilchus malachas chalamoid. If the Torah didn't say a word, Torah doesn't say boo, Torah doesn't say to work, doesn't say not to work, Torah leaves it blank, so then the Chum want to come along one fine day and ask them hilchus chalamoid, they can do whatever they want. But lo yitzir that it says beferish that you're not allowed to work, that you are allowed to work in chalamoid, so the Chum would have no koyach to ask hilchus chalamoid. Comes Michas Chinuch and says that's exactly what Tosis is driving at, that's exactly what Rabbeinu Tam means. We have this pasuk Chaga Osif that's bothering us. What does Chaga Osif mean? So two interpretations. Briskevort, Briskechakira. What does Chaga Osif mean? Does Chaga Osif mean you personally are being Osif? Or does Chaga Osif mean at a time when other people in theory are being Osif? Lo Yitzuya, that Chaga Osif would have meant you personally being Osif. If that's the only working pshat in the pasuk, If that's what the emes of pshat and the pasuk is, chayav asif means you personally are working, then we are up the creek. Then we got to cross out Uchas Mul Chol Moed. We got to all go home for the summer. Because you can't have Uchas Chol Moed, according to Rabbi Natan. That would be a violation of the Taz's Klal. That would be a violation of Koyach Biyadah. The Chum have no Koyach to ask us something when it's Beferish in the when it's Beferish in the Torah. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, that's what the Gemara Chagig is driving at. The Gemara is analyzing this pasuk Chag HaOsef and trying to figure out what does it mean? What do the words mean? Does Chag HaOsef mean a time when you personally are working? Or does Chag HaOsef mean a time when, in theory, other people are working? So Lu Yitzuya that Chag HaOsef would have meant a time when you personally are working, that would have been tantamount to the Torah saying the favor is giving you a green light to work on Chol HaMoed. If the Torah would say Pemol, you're allowed to work in Chol HaMoed, then all Hilchos Chol HaMoed would fall by the wayside. You cannot have an Issur D'Rabbanan of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, if that would be the facts. It must be, says Rabbi Natan, Zetman Frandar, from the fact that we know the Ari Suri Chol HaMoed out there. We know the Cham Asad Malach and Chol HaMoed. It must be the Chag HaOsef doesn't mean what we think it means. It must mean the Chag HaOsef just means, it's Chag HaBav Isman HaOsef. It means the time when other people are working. Once Chag HaOsef means that, then Chag HaKotze means the same thing also. And there's no raya that you don't say Tachna for a week after Shavuos. There's no raya that there's Tashlumen for Shavuos. It could mean there's one day of Shavuos, there's one day of Issur Melacha, and Chag HaKotze doesn't mean you're going to go to work. Chag HaKotze just means at a time when other people are being Kotzer. So, wow, what a pshah for Rabbi Natan. You have to be Rabbi Natan to think of this one. You have to look at this Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yeches, and all the Gemara said is that Chag HaOsef can't mean literally being Osef, because after all, there's Issur Melacha and Chol HaMoed. So we thought, like simple people, we thought that, oh, what the Gemara means to say is that, well, since there's an Issur Melacha and Chol HaMoed, which means Deraisa, obviously the Torah can't be telling you to do something that's also Deraisa. That's what we thought the Pshat in the Gemara was. So Rabbi Natan turned the Gemara upside down and backwards and said, no, the Gemara never meant Chol HaMoed is Deraisa. What the Gemara really meant to say is, of Adam Melachas Chol HaMoed is Derabanan, the Chachamim have no right to create Issur Melacha and Chol HaMoed if the Torah would have been Matir Beferush. So I ask you guys, who saw the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches? No one saw the Gemara? Who realized that that's the Pshat in the Gemara? No, who realizes now that's the Pshat in the Gemara according to Rabbi Natan? Why the Pshat, right? What do you think, no? Hey, you need a lot of ingenuity for that Pshat. That's why he came Rabbi Natan. Rabbi said, what is this based on? What kind of story is this? That this Taz, this whole Pshat Rabbi Natan is hinging on the Taz. So what's going on? How you talking about Kazakh? How can it be? Why should there be such a klal? According to Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan's whole pshat, the whole Melachos Chol HaMoed Derabanan is hinging on the fact that the Taz is right. Does the Taz make any sense to you? Why can't the Chum ask her something? The Taz is the Pharisee's mother. What's the big spritz? What's the big deal? The Chum do whatever they want. So why can't they ask her? The Yishkach Mecham Makad of Minatar. Why can't they, well, Sheb Al Tasa, why can't they ask her things that are just because they're Beferish in the Torah Lahakya? What's the Svara to them? So I think that the svara for that is based as follows. This discussion, next couple of minutes, is irrelevant to Rabbi Natan. I mean, it's to the Taz. Whether Rabbi Natan's Pshat in the Gemara is right or not, doesn't really matter for us. I mean, Lamaisa, the Taz said what he said. The Taz develops his Yisoid. It's Rabbi Natan's Shita also. It's Hilchos Chol HaMoed also. But you have to understand it a little bit. It has to make a little bit of sense. So why should that be so? So I think that the answer is based on the following Yisoid. It just happens to be, it's a good law that happens just to be Pashas Boach. So we can double this as a chumash for the next 5 minutes also. So the answer to the Taz and the answer to Shittas Rabbi Natan clearly is rooted in Parshas Balak, obviously. Isn't that obvious, right? So it's based on the following pasuk in Parshas Balak. Everyone's probably thinking, there are no halachas in Parshas Balak. What is he talking about? So the answer is as follows, that the Rebbe Shalom comes to Bilam, and he says to him, okay, you know, you want to go along with these guys, you know, all right, go ahead, gig's the day, go along. The very next pasuk, Vaychar af Elokim ke'elechu, pasuk says that the Rebbe Shalom was angry, he was upset that Bilam went. So the obvious question is, what was the Rebbe Shalom angry about? He just gave him a green light 2 minutes before. He told him he can go. So why Vaychar af Elokim ke'elechu? So Rebbe Chon Wasserman develops a yisoid in Kunches Divrei Seifrim. It's in the second chelik of Kovitz Yurim. So he has a whole kuntras about Dinim Derabanan and a bunch of other things, he develops the Yisod based on his Pesukim and Bashas Balak. Says Rabbi Chanan, he says, what the Rabban Shalom was upset was as follows. There are two different halachas of Tzivui Hashem, Kapritz Givar. There are two different types of tzivuyim that the Rabban Shalom gives. Sometimes the Rabban Shalom says you something beferish. He says, Mamish Pemoli, Be'erf Tech Lematzos, Lasasika Malacha. He says, Fukshat Nesi Adech. He says, doesn't mix any words, it's Pemoli exactly. He tells you what to do, what not to do. That's a mitzvah, that's an entire mitzvah. That's a tzivu, the Rabban Shalom behead you. And then, sometimes the Rabban Shalom doesn't tell you things explicitly. Sometimes the Rabban Shalom drops you a hint here and there, and sometimes the Rabban Shalom wants you to figure out on your own what he would want you to do. That's what Rabbi Chanan calls not the Tzivui Hashem, that's the Ratzon Hashem. Because it's obvious that the Ratzon Hashem is harder sometimes to figure out than Tzivui Hashem. Tzivui Hashem is befavorish, just open up the book. Ratzon Hashem is to figure out, in the reading between the lines, to figure out what would the Rabbi Chanan would like you to do in a situation, even though he didn't quite tell you. So I always give the following mashal. Those who are married will, I don't think they're too many people who are married, but whoever's married will appreciate the mashal. So, Havdil. Says, when you first get married, so your wife tells you one of the first couple of days is, can you please take out the garbage? Wonderful. So he tells you the first time, please take out the garbage. The second time, please take out the garbage. Usually by the third or fourth night, so she stops telling you to take out the garbage. So the question is, yesh lachko, what should my response be to that? The fact that she no longer asks me to take out the garbage. So I could take the approach that, well, she didn't say to take out the garbage. So it must be that, ich bin a tamil chochum, ich bin a bar chochum, I don't have to take out the garbage anymore. That's one approach. Or the other approach is that it's understood that once she already told you once or twice, so she realizes now that you know her so well, you've been married for already 3 days, so it's understood that you're going to take out the garbage every night without being told. So go try to plan and not take out the garbage, so you'll get the mishapara afterwards. Why? Because the pshat is that of course she wants to take out the garbage. Elohat. She's not doing your Petaris Tzivi anymore. Now it's Petaris Ratzon. Because she understands that you know her well enough. You know what her Ratzon is. So it doesn't have to be said. You can figure out for yourself what the Ratzon is. And if you don't take out the garbage, so she'll talk and be upset at you. And you're going to respond and say, but you didn't tell me to take out the garbage. So her response is going to be, well, you should have figured it out. So that Yesoid, that you should have figured it out. So that's Yesoid in Benon Lechaveirot. It's Yesoid in taking out the garbage. And it's Yesoid, Lahavdil of Abdul. It's Yesoid in Avedis Hashem also. But there are certain things you're supposed to figure out on your own. There are certain things that the Rebbe Shalom doesn't tell you Pemole. You're supposed to figure out. This is the Ramban has this idea many, many different places. This is the whole novel Bishus HaTorah concept of Parshas Kedoshim. That means you're right. It doesn't say Beferish in the Torah that you're not allowed to have 16 hamburgers at a time. It doesn't say that Beferish. Assuming they're kosher, okay, so you're allowed to eat them. But the Ramban says a guy sits and presses and eats and drinks and does all kind of things that you have pastish, which are Nava B'Shus HaTorah. So the Ramban says that's a violation of the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Kedoshim to you. That's what the Rosh Shalom doesn't have to tell you Beferish not to do these kinds of things. This is understood. This is against what the Ratzon Hashem is. Well, the Ramban writes in other places, let's say when it comes to Melech HaShabbos. So the Ramban writes that a person could mamish have Shabbos be like a regular weekday. That means he figures out Kuntzim how to do everything. Everything is mutter. Everything is back and forth. He figures out everything to circumvent all B'chol Shabbos. So the Ramban writes, that's also not the Ratzon Hashem. The Rosh Hashanah wants it to be a Shabbos L'Hashem. It shouldn't be a day where you figure out every single dreis of a cup to get around every single Isser in the Torah. So the Ramban develops his Yisod. Rabbi Chanan develops his Yisod. He says that's what was going on in Parshas Balak. That Bilam should have been smart enough to realize that the Rabban Shalom didn't want him to go. Harayat, he told him the first not to go. And then if the Bilam kvetches and kvetches and kvetches, I want to go, I need the money, I'm a little low on funds, so I want to go. The Rabban Shalom says, okay, go, give you the green light, go. So then the Rabban Shalom says, no, I'm upset at you, Bilam, for going. You should have known that even though I didn't give you a tzivui behead you not to go, my Ratzin is that you're not supposed to go. So the Ratzin Hashem is also a person can be held responsible for. A person doesn't listen to the Ratzin Hashem, he's also going to be held culpable for us. That's the side Rabbi Chanan develops. The two did him, there's a tzivui, the feirish, and then there's a Ratzin Hashem. So Rabbi Chanan develops this idea to answer the following kasha. There's a very famous machlekes Rambam and the Ramban about what's the koyach of listening to the Chachamim. Why is it that when the Chachamim tell us to light nearest Chanukah, that we have to listen? So according to the Rambam, all mitzvahs derabanan are subsumed under losasa. The Torah says you have to listen to the Chachmei Torah. The Rambam understands that means not only when they interpret pre-existing dirim deraisa, that refers even to when they institute new dinim derabbanan. And the Ramban says no. The Ramban says that los sasa only means in the realm of pre-existing deraisas. When the Chachamim tell you what's pshat in a pasuk in Chumash, or the Chachamim tell you we have a messiah or such and such, and we figure out the following kavachomer, that you have to listen to. But when the Chachamim tell you a new din, they tell you to light Neres Chanukah, to read the Megillah. That's not called los sasa. So there's an obvious problem according to Ramban. If it's not called Lososa, so why do we have to listen to it in the first place? So why do we have to listen to the Chum when they tell us to do mitzvahs? So this is an age-old problem. The Ramban had an answer to it. Haraya, the Ramban also lit Neres Chanukah. The Ramban also read the Megillah. So there's an answer to this kasher. So Rabbi Chanan suggests one pshat, and he quotes another answer for Rabbi Chaim, but he suggests his own pshat. Rabbi Chanan says maybe the pshat according to Ramban is as follows, that all mitzvahs the Rabbanon are just merely reflection of what the Ratzon Hashem is. It means the Torah never told us to light Neres Chanukah because the Rabbanon Shalom didn't speak to us at the time of Neres Chanukah. The Rabbanon Shalom taught us in the past how we're supposed to react when Nisim happened, Kriyas Yam Sof, we sing Az Yashem Moshe, we have Yom Tovim to celebrate, commemorate the Chasdei Hashem. So now, 1,000 years later, when the Nes of Chanukah happened, so the Chacham was supposed to figure out what would the Rabbanon Shalom like us to do? How should we respond to the Nes? What's the appropriate means of celebrating the Nes of Chanukah? What's the appropriate means of celebrating the Nes of Purim? So the Chacham in each generation is supposed to try to figure out what is the Ratzon Hashem. Well, let's say Marshal, the Torah never said Nati Bishalachom. On the other hand, we know the Rabbanon Shalom doesn't want us to intermarry. We know the Rabbanon Shalom wants to keep a certain social contact limited. So the Chacham in each generation have to sit down and figure out, you know, how do we make sure that we don't violate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? Some of the Rabbanon Shalom would want us not to eat Bishalachom. Some of the Rabbanon Shalom would want us to refrain from certain things. We know the Rabbanon Shalom doesn't want us to do malachas and Shabbos, and we know if you pick up a pen and you start playing with a pen, next thing you know you may come to write it. So it's probably a very good idea. This is probably what the Rabbanon Shalom would like us to do, is to hold back and not to move pens on Shabbos. So comes Rabbi Chanan and says, all dinim derabanan are basically just a demonstration of what the Ratzon Hashem is. That means the Chum don't have the koyach just stam to yesh me'ayin, just stam to make up things out of the hat because they think it's a good idea to keep muktzah. The Chum in each generation have to try to be mishayer to the best as possible what their Rabban Shalom, how their Rabban Shalom would want us to act in an area where it doesn't say we don't have a tzivui b'feirish. The Rabban Shalom didn't tell us what to do. So says Rabbi Chanan, all misum derabanan are formed in that second category of Ratzon Hashem, like Bilam and Bilam. That the same way that Bilam was held responsible for not listening to the Ratzon Hashem, even though there was no tzivui, so too we're also held responsible for not listening to the Ratzon Hashem, and even if there's no tzivui. So dinim derabban, according to Rabbi Chanan, are not tzivui Hashem, they're Ratzon Hashem, and Ratzon Hashem is also binding on everybody. That's the aside of dinim derabban, according to Rabbi Chanan, a whole new insight as to what the Rabbanans are all about. They're not lo sasa, not like the Rambam, they're not lo sasa. They're expressions of what the Ratzon Hashem is, and there's a mechayev to listen to the Ratzon Hashem. Harayev echaraf alakim kerelechu. So if this is the yisoid of all dinim derabanan, then the Taz mamish makes perfect sense. What did the Taz tell us? What was the yisoid of the Taz? Taz says that whenever the Torah says temole that something is mutter, the Chum have no kayach to aser. Why? The Chum have no right to go against what the Rabban Shalom said. Yisurim the Rabbanan only makes sense in a vacuum. We don't know one way or the other. We don't know what the Rabban Shalom said about this topic. We don't know whether the Rabban Shalom said we should blow shofar on Shabbos or not. We don't know. The Rabban Shalom didn't say yeah, didn't say no. He says Yom Tzuri Elochem. It could mean yeah, it could be no. We don't know. So for lack of a tzivoy, so we assume that midderais you're allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, but midder Rabbanan, the Chum are allowed to sit around 1,000 years later and say, you know what? The stomach of the Ratzon Hashem is that it's not such a good idea to blow shofar on Shabbos because someone's going to carry the Shem Yavarei. It's a bad idea. Although the Torah was never mitzavas not to shake the lulav on Shabbos, it's a bad idea. Shem Yavarei Nadal Namas Mishas Arabim. So when it comes to things which are a vacuum, it comes to things where there is no tzivim one way or the other, so then it makes sense for the Chum to step up to the plate and to say, wait a second, we think, based on our understanding of the Ratzon Hashem, we're mishayer that the Rebbe Shalom probably would not want you to blow shofar today. Probably would not want you to shake a lulav today. So that makes sense. That the Chum can institute. That's not so crazy. But if the Rebbe Shalom says, Pemole, do a meal on Shabbos. I am telling you, uvayoyim. You hear this, guys? This is the word. Uvayoyim. Uvayoyim means vayoyim afilu b'Shabbos. Do a meal on Shabbos. So the Chum are going to get up and say, we think that the Ratzon Hashem is not to do a meal on Shabbos. Who do you, what do you mean you think the Ratzon Hashem? The Rabban Shalom just said, faker. You're speaking for the Rabban Shalom. So the Rabban Shalom said, yes, to do a meal on Shabbos. How dare you say that the Ratzon Hashem is not to do a meal on Shabbos? So if the whole Yisoid of Yisurim Derabbanan, the whole Yisoid of Mitzvahs Derabbanan, is just trying to figure out, in between the lines, trying to figure out when there's no tzivri one way or the other, so then that only makes sense when the Taka is no tzivri one way or the other. But there is, if there's a tzivri behedya, there's a tzivri pemole to do such and such, Rabbanu, the Torah, HaKadosha says that the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to do a meal on Shabbos. He is telling you, Beferish, this is my Ratzon, to do a meal on Shabbos. How dare the Chum come along and say, 1,000 years later, no, we don't think that's the Ratzon Hashem. That's Namashekha Bechazon, that's Ziyaf HaTorah. You can't do that. The Rabbanu Shalom said, Beferish, yes, so we have no right to say no. So the Chur, that's the aside of the Taz. So this is the aside of Rabbeinu Tam also. So the Torah says, Chag HaOsif. So Lu Yitzir Chag HaOsif means to Pshuto that you're allowed to be Osif. You're literally allowed to be working the fields. You're allowed to be collecting your produce. So the Torah is telling you, Chag HaOsef, the Torah is calling Chol HaMoed a Yom HaMutar B'Melacha. The fact that Chol HaMoed is Mutar B'Melacha is not just lack of Isser. It's not just because there's no pasuk to aser it, but rather there's a befeirish pasuk to be matar it. Lo yitzuya, such a pasuk exists. Chag HaOsef pem molit mutar du malach and Chol HaMoed. How dare the Chum institute of Chol HaMoed? It would be, make no sense. They would have no right to do so. It must be from the fact that the Chum instituted Hilchos Chol HaMoed, it must be there is no such pasuk, there is no such heter, there is no beferish Ratzon Hashem that it's mutar du malach and Chol HaMoed. It must be the Chag HaOsef being something different. It must be the Chag HaOsef means a time when other people are being oisef, but lav dafki you personally being oisef. So Rabbeinu Tam's pshat is mamish b'mekoyim eimer. Rabbeinu Tam's pshat is mamish beautiful. Rabbeinu Tam's pshat just needed a little bit of bolstering, a little bit of understanding. We needed the Michas Chinuch to connect it to the Taz Hashita. We needed Rabbi Chanan to tell us a little bit about Bilam and his donkey, and us to put the whole picture together. So we try to put together Rabbeinu Tam with the Michas Chinuch, with the Taz, Rabbi Chanan, the whole package deal together to give you a beer as to what's pshat in the Taz, which of course is going to impact in Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbi says, so what do we have for now? So I'm not sure what we have for now. Right now we have the Hakdama of the Hakdama. All we have is Shita's Rabbeinu Tam. We have only discussed one side of the issue. We've only discussed Rabbeinu Tam's Shita up until now, namely that Malachas Chol HaMoed is only Midrabanan. We had Rabbeinu Tam's Rayas from the lack of Isurim in the Chumash Beferish. We had Rabbeinu Tam's Rayas from the Risham. We had Rabbeinu Tam's Rayas from the nature of the Halachas. Then we had the problems with Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. We had that Gemara in the beginning of the second parak that was very shaky according to Rabbeinu Tam. We had to revamp a little bit. We had the Rambam anyway threw that Gemara out the window, so we didn't take too worried about that Gemara. Then we had this other Gemara, Chagiga Daf Yiches, about Chag HaOsef, which Rabbeinu Tam had also revamped, give a whole fancy schmancy pshat to that Gemara. And in order to understand Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, we had to give a little bit more of Hakdama to the Taz, the Mechaschinich, or Bechonon, to develop this whole Yisayit. So Rabbeinu Tam's Shita is still standing. We still have a viable Shita that Malachas Chol HaMoed is only Midir Rabbanan. With Shem on Sunday, we'll have to finish up a little bit more of Malachas Chol HaMoed to Rabbanan to understand just one or two other pieces of information that relate to Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. Then we'll try to move on to the next, the other opinion, to give at least equal time to those who hold that Malachas Chol HaMoed is Derais. And hopefully once we get down to two basic camps about whether Malachas Chol HaMoed is Derais, then we'll be able to go through some of the nitty-gritty of Chol HaMoed, what's also what's more. Okay. How you doing? Came out right?
Yeah. I think so. How's everyone feeling?